This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, September 2, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. As hometown pharmacies close in Muskegon and Traverse City, industry experts warn of expanding pharmacy deserts that leave patients without nearby access to vital medications. WGVU's Dee Morrison breaks down what is driving the closures.
It's a devastating crisis for all of those communities where those hometown pharmacies are closing. That means there's one less point of care and contact.
Miguel Rodriguez, Executive Vice President and General Counsel of advocacy group American Pharmacies, says the root cause of independent pharmacy closures is the pharmacy benefit manager, or PBM, system.
There's these middlemen, these giant mega corporations. They also own insurance companies. They own other mail order pharmacies, and they control what prices that patients pay. They control what drugs are covered, and they control how much pharmacies are paid for providing medicine to patients.
Rodriguez explains pharmacies are often reimbursed less than the cost of the medicine itself, while PBM-owned companies sometimes directly compete with Michigan's independent pharmacies.
The three largest control 80% of every pharmacy claim in the country, and those three companies are part of the Fortune 11. The top 11 highest revenue corporations in the country are these three pharmacy benefit managers.
Michigan state lawmakers are holding hearings and roundtable discussions to understand the impact of PBMs and consider possible reforms. I'm Dee Morrison.
A growing number of Michigan parents are deciding not to vaccinate their children. As students are heading back to school, new state data indicates a 12-year high vaccination rate decline. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Recently released state data reveals that during the 2025-26 school year, around 7.1% of students in kindergarten and 7th grade, or students who changed school districts, received a vaccine exemption due to religious, medical, or philosophical reasons. Michigan's waiver rate in 2020 was 3.4% and has climbed each year since, reaching 6.2% in 2024 before reaching a 12-year high last year when parents declined to vaccinate around 24,600 students. The rise in waiver rates has been attributed to misinformation about vaccine effectiveness and safety spread during the COVID-19 pandemic. The state requires students to have at least 6 vaccinations against communicable diseases such as measles, mumps, and chickenpox. That remains unchanged despite a federal executive order reducing the number of recommended vaccines from 18 to 11 diseases. According to the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, U.S. measles cases have reached a 35-year high after being declared eliminated from the country in 2000. The Centers for Disease Control calculates 94% of those with measles were unvaccinated or their vaccination status was unknown. I'm David Limbaugh.
Art Prize 2026 starts September 12th in Grand Rapids, and now that it is no longer backed by Rick DeVos, grandson of Amway co-founder Richard DeVos, the event relies more on taxpayer money. And WGVU's Phil Dawson reports that concerns at least one Kent County commissioner.
My main concern is funding responsibility for Art Prize moves farther and farther towards a public source.
Since 2022, when Kendall College of Art and Design, the City of Grand Rapids, and Downtown Grand Rapids, Inc. took over Art Prize from founder Rick DeVos, Commissioner Steve Faber says Kent County's role has expanded from logistical support to commitment of taxpayer dollars.
Our initial contribution to Art Prize as a county was $75,000 3 years ago. The next year, that went to $200,000, I think, in our budget. This year, it's $200,000 again, and now we're really making direct contributions.
It's a magical, magical event. This doesn't happen anywhere else.
During a presentation to the County Commission, Art Prize Executive Director Tyler Loftus said a million visitors are expected this year to see the art and enjoy free performances.
Every weekend, we're going to be doing things down at Rosa Park, and all these events are going to be free.
Grand Rapids City Manager Mark Washington says Art Prize visitors are expected to spend about $83 million.
The public does benefit hotels or field, and there's retail spending.
Loftus says Art Prize relies on support from corporations, foundations, individuals, and government grants.
Without support of our county, magical things like this would not happen.
I'm Phil Dawson.
The City of Grand Rapids is seeking qualified artists or artist teams to design and build a new memorial honoring lives impacted by gun violence. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more on the city's request for artists' proposals.
The City of Grand Rapids says this project marks an important step in the city's ongoing work to support healing, reflection, and community awareness. The memorial will acknowledge the many forms of gun violence, including interpersonal violence, domestic violence, street violence, and unjust shootings. Brandon Davis, Managing Director of the Office of Public Accountability and Office of Equity and Engagement, says, quote, The artwork will serve as a public reminder of the deep losses felt by families and neighborhoods across Grand Rapids, end quote. Artists are asked to propose a three-dimensional or mixed-media piece that can be safely displayed both indoors and outdoors. The artwork, once complete, will become the property of the City of Grand Rapids. A selection committee made up of survivors, families affected by gun violence, SAFE Task Force members, and representatives from the Grand Rapids Police Department will review all proposals. The committee will recommend the proposal that best meets the goals of the project and reflects the experiences of those impacted. You can find more information and details on the city website at grandrapidsmi.gov. I'm Jennifer Moss.
The Ottawa County Sheriff's Office is investigating a string of recent home invasions targeting Asian business owners in West Michigan. WGVU's Dee Morrison has more.
Investigators say on August 26th, two suspects armed with a knife broke into a home on Peach Ridge Drive in Park Township midday, but fled after being startled by a 22-year-old resident. Days later, suspects broke into a home on Peachleaf Court in Park Township, stealing thousands of dollars in jewelry, cash, and valuables. Using the Flock safety camera system, investigators identified a suspect vehicle linked to a Chicago-based South American theft group, which targets high-end homes or businesses, surveilling the sites and tracking the owners to strike when the location is unoccupied. Deputies and Holland police officers found the vehicle and arrested three suspects, now charged with home invasion. Detectives are coordinating with other law enforcement agencies nationwide to determine if the group is connected to similar home invasions across Michigan and the U.S. I'm Dee Morrison.
On Tuesday, the River North Business Association revealed its new community mural celebrating the rebranding of Grand Rapids Monroe North District. WGVU's David Limbaugh was there.
I had struggled with the original name, the Monroe North Business Association, or the Monroe North District. Everyone just kept calling it North Monroe, Northern Monroe. It was just not getting easy.
That confusion, Mark Secchia says, is what led to the rebranding of Monroe North to the River North District by the River North Business Association, of which Secchia is president.
This area probably isn't anymore what it used to be 20 years ago, so we just really feel like the energy that's coming in, plus with everything that's happening on the river, that was really just a natural change from Monroe North to River North.
A new community mural featuring bicycle riders, fish jumping out of the Grand River, and a portion of the Grand Rapids skyline now covers part of the south exterior of Secchia Silva Restaurant, welcoming residents and visitors to the growing area. It took Detroit artist Mark Serra 3.5 weeks and 25 gallons of paint to bring his vision to life.
I wanted it to be vibrant and fun, tell stories. I wanted it to feel good to people because, you know, this was once a few short weeks ago. A blank wall is kind of drab, and now it's the opposite of drab.
Once considered an industrial hub, the district has evolved into a destination for residents and visitors alike as it experiences growth in housing, dining, retail, and small business. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, another edition of our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, but first, news from around the state. Juvenile justice advocates marked their latest policy wins with a gathering in Detroit on Tuesday. Colin Jackson has more.
This summer, a new law passed that gives minors access to the Michigan Indigent Defense Commission. The law will set some youth-specific minimum standards for juveniles' court-appointed attorneys. Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist says it's a change that will address Michigan's relatively high numbers of children in the justice system.
Kids with better lawyers are going to see less time and be able to make different deals on deflection and diversion opportunities. So now that we have a more robust set of services available in a larger number of counties across a broader swath of Michigan, I also think we will lead to seeing that be on a downward trajectory pretty aggressively.
Another new law expands access to state juvenile justice data for researchers. I'm Colin Jackson in Detroit.
Michigan Republican Congressman John Molinar said on Tuesday night he wants to see a deal to end the ongoing trade war between the United States and Canada. This comes less than a week before 50% tariffs on select goods could be imposed on Canadian imports. Canadian officials said they are matching those tariffs dollar for dollar in retaliation to President Donald Trump's actions. During a telephone town hall, Molinar says the U.S. should have fair trade relations with Canada.
And unfortunately, what normally is a civil, private negotiation working towards agreements has spilled into some name-calling and some things that haven't been as productive as I'd like.
Molinar also says he disagrees with Trump's executive order that renamed Lake Ontario to Lake America in response to the ongoing trade fight. According to a recent poll from Reuters, only 20% of Americans support tariffs on Canadian goods. 14% say they supported the renaming of the Great Lake. Focus West Michigan is made for all, powered by you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. This afternoon in our Crane's Grand Rapids business brief, WGVU's Patrick Center speaks with Crane's staff writer Mark Sanchez about a U.S. 131 Flex route project planned for Grand Rapids, the Michigan legislature tackling rising health care costs, and we begin with a major Corwell Health expansion on its Butterworth campus.
This is a big one that we first reported on this back in January, and we had heard about it, and Corwell spoke to us about it. And now, last week, here are some details. It's a 780,000 square foot patient tower there on the Butterworth campus on Michigan Street, $1.34 billion. Corwell hopes to begin construction on this new patient tower next year, completion by 2030. It's going to have a new emergency department, 180 private inpatient rooms, 17 operating rooms. And the folks at Corwell really say that this is going to give them some added capacity to meet the growing inpatient volumes at the Butterworth Hospital campus. It's got 876 beds there between Butterworth Hospital, the Meyer Heart Center, and Helen DeVos Children's Hospital. We'll see as this progresses now through the year. Corwell's going to need just a whole bevy of city approvals for this, and then has to go through at the state level what's known as the Certificate of Need process, where that's a regulatory process on the state level where projects that meet a certain threshold or certain have a certain clinical element to it need to get reviewed at the state level. So this is going to kick off here in the coming weeks. And as you said, this is a big major project, and it's going to, again, alter that skyline there along that medical mile that we've seen develop and grow over the last 20, 25 years with all those developments on the north side of Michigan Street. You know, Lemon Holton Cancer Pavilion, the Meyer Heart Center, the DeVos Children's Hospital, and it just keeps going. And now this is one more major element to that stretch.
And for the footprint, there's some demolition of existing hospital buildings.
Yeah, there's a facility there on Barclay Avenue and Michigan Street. And this is going to go up adjacent to the Meyer Heart Center. And there's an existing building there. I can't remember the square footage off the top of my head. It houses some outpatient clinics right now for Corwell Health. Those are going to come down to make way for this new patient tower. And we should add, we did a follow-up story here this week as well, that, you know, Corwell has been working and reaching out to the neighborhood association there. You've got the neighbors just to the east of this property. And one of the things they did is they went up a little more to kind of maybe then compress that footprint and not encroach as much on the neighborhood. So that's also a factor in this, working with the neighbors and the association there.
You did talk about population growth in West Michigan. How much of it is a function of that, but also some of the rural hospitals that are closing?
Yeah, there's no mention about the rural hospitals. Obviously, if you're in a rural community, you need some of that specialty care, the heart surgery, oncology, especially for heart and cardiac care. You might be coming to Grand Rapids. But a lot of this is predicated on just growth. It's no secret. Grand Rapids, Kent, Ottawa, Muskegon, Allegan counties, this region in West Michigan is growing. The population's going up. We're an aging population. That means we all consume more health care. All that adds to the patient volumes they're seeing there. Again, their argument is this is to accommodate, first modernize the facility in some of those areas of these older hospitals. There's a little difficulty moving equipment around sometimes, but also just not only modernize, but also just accommodate the growth. It's going to have about net 80 additional inpatient beds there. So it's really what you hit on, the population growth and just this increased demand for care.
You talk about the expense of this development, over $1 billion for this tower. There are those who say there's a lot of money in healthcare, and when it comes to patient billing, the Michigan legislature wants to take a closer look at the expense of healthcare.
Yeah, this is something that came up. It's legislation proposed in the State House by Representative Curtis Vanderwall. He's a Republican from Ludington, and he chairs the House Health Policy Committee. And last week, the committee held a hearing on a bill he has proposed that would basically ban facility fees. Now, if you go for an example that Representative Vanderwaal cited in the committee hearing, you go and you have a blood draw at a diagnostic lab that's owned by the health system or hospital. He cites how he was charged a facility fee for each vial of blood that was drawn. And we've heard about this more and more the last number of years, that the health systems are assessing facility fees. Even if you're not getting a procedure or something done at the hospital, you're using an outpatient clinic, which many people do because they tend to be lower cost. Now you're having an added facility fee. These fees generate revenue for the hospitals and the health systems to basically run their operations. So now there's been a lot of complaints about these, and the legislature is taking up a bill that would ban facility fees for care delivered at facilities that are outside of hospitals. Outpatient services done at hospitals, except obviously for emergency care or major surgeries and you have an overnight stay. And then facility fees even for telemedicine when you have that virtual visit with a doctor. So as Representative Vanderwaal says, the goal here is simple. We need to lower costs. There's been this continual escalation of healthcare costs for many years, and in his view, not much has been done about it, or we have not done action to lower these costs. That's a direct line from him in the committee hearing last week. So we're going to see how this plays out. Some folks believe this is just maybe provoking is the proper term, a conversation, a debate about high healthcare costs, because you also have some legislation that the Speaker of the House, Matt Hall, introduced this summer back in June to basically tell hospitals cut their prices 10%, would cap their ability to raise prices above the inflation rate, and restrict late payment fees, and then also prohibit hospitals and health systems from reporting medical debt to consumer credit agencies. And this is all coming together here because these bills on facility fees, you had the hearing in the morning on the committee level. The committee did not vote, but later in the day, the full House discharged the bill from committee and brought it to the full House floor. So my guess is some of these bills are all going to get considered and discussed together, and it's going to bring folks to the table to start having a healthy debate about high healthcare costs, not only here in Michigan, but all over. This is an issue in every community, in every market, in every state across the country. We keep seeing healthcare costs rise. Agree or disagree with what Mr. Vanderwaal has proposed, but here's his one idea. Just one single way to maybe start controlling some of these costs.
We're talking with Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer Mark Sanchez. The state is addressing a U.S. 131 congestion issue every day during our traffic report. This area, there's always a backup. There seems like there's always an accident. It's right next to LMCU ballpark. And if you've driven that stretch during drive time, you've experienced this.
Yeah, that old phrase, if you know, you know. And I leave the office here in downtown and I go over to my walk across the river and to our parking lot where we park. And I look at that northbound US 131, that it's all backed up into downtown. It's moving slow. And you're right. It's where the 131 I-96 interchange. And then as you go north into Comstock Park, it is clogged. Now, the easy solution that a lot of people, well, just add another lane. Well, adding another lane comes with a lot of cost, not only the cost to build it, but the cost to maintain it. So here's an idea that the state has used effectively in other areas. You've seen these on the freeways in Detroit, especially on that congested west side in the western suburbs of Detroit. It's called a flex route. Basically, you have your shoulders. So you have signs above the roadway. During the busy periods, those high travel periods, the rush hours, when the congestion hits and the backups start, that green light above that extra lane, that shoulder goes on, use that shoulder, and it creates an extra lane. It's a flex route. It's not open at all times of the day, but the state has the ability by making these improvements in the roadway and the signage to open up these travel lanes during peak congestion periods. And that's coming here next year. And the Michigan Department of Transportation expects to begin the project there on northbound 131 north of town in the spring 2027 and have it complete by the fall of 2028.
And there is some bridge work that will have to take place also.
Yeah, of course, the irony here is you're doing this to help prevent congestion, but then, of course, during all this work, you're going to have what? Congestion. So it's a span of 6 miles on southbound US 31 and 6 miles on northbound US 131, and it'll stretch from the I-96 interchange at the southern end up to Post Drive on the north end. And we should also say that the planned turn on the flex route signs, these will operate from about 7 to 9 a.m. during the morning rush hour and 3 to 7 p.m. during the evening rush hour.
Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, September 2, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.